This is the Luis Palau Legacy Library. May this timeless message bless you today. And remember, a life on fire is a life well spent.
Thank you. How are you, everybody? Yes. Now, I'd like everybody to bow your heads in prayer. Let's calm down for a minute. I got to tell you an incredible story. Let's bow down for a second. September 11, 2001, we had a festival like this one on the beach in Santa Cruz, California. And that night, when everything was over on the beach, one family stayed to clean up the beach. Dad and Mom, the Wagners, and two teenage girls, Mandy and Carrie. Mandy was 15, Carrie was 14. Beautiful teenage girls, Californian girls. And as they were driving home at 11:15, the streets of Santa Cruz were quiet. Dad driving, Mandy and Carrie in the back seat, Mom on the other side. A drunken woman in an SUV ran a stop sign, slammed into their little car, and Mandy and Carrie died on the spot. The dad was so beaten up, he couldn't talk for days. The mom I went to see a Sunday morning, because it was Saturday night like tonight, and the mom, when I went to her bed, she was awake, and she grabbed my hand and she said, "Luis, did you hear what happened to Mandy and Carrie?" And I said, "Yes, I've come to hold your hand and pray in the hospital." She said, "Think of this, Luis. Last night at 11:15, my two little girls saw the face of Jesus, because those two teenage beauties really had Jesus in their heart. Tonight, God is calling you. And none of us knows when our turn will come. It could be teenagers like Mandy and Carrie. It could be old like grandpa or grandma, but one day God wants us in heaven, and this is the hour. And I got a message for you. It won't be long, and it'll be about, does Jesus make a difference? Father in heaven, you see everything, Lord. The sky is clear. I'm sure you're looking down, but more than looking down, your spirit is here. And, oh, Lord, you see all these beautiful kids. You see the dads and moms. You see the grandpas and grandmas out there. Oh, God, speak to us with great power. Speak to every teenage girl. Speak to every guy. Speak to the old-timers. And, oh, God, in a few minutes, may hundreds come into your kingdom. And like Mandy and Carrie, know for sure that we belong to you forever and ever and ever. Because of Jesus, your son. Thank you, God. You've heard us. Help me to speak well of Jesus. In his name I pray." And everybody said, "Amen. Amen. Amen. Yes." I don't want to bore you guys, but I do want to give you a message from God. And at the end, I want to give you an invitation. So please listen carefully. Does Jesus make a difference in a person's life? What do you think? Yes or no? Okay, the majority think yes. But I'm sure there's some of you who are saying, "I don't know." One day I was on television up in Bellingham, Washington, and I was taking calls from kids. And a young guy called me from British Columbia. And he said, "Luis, I'm Jewish. I'm 16. I'm the only Jewish boy in the high school here in White Rock. And all my Christian friends always tell me, 'David, you've got to follow Jesus. David, you've got to follow Jesus.'" And he said to me this question, "Luis, what can Jesus do for me that I can't do for myself?" And I said, "David, that's a great question. Let me tell you six or seven things. And I want to tell you what I told David, among other things, that night. First, guys, girls, and dads and moms, Jesus makes a difference when you are lonely and when you are sad." Yeah. And there's a lot of kids. Do you know, I just met a person this week here that last week tried to commit suicide by taking a whole ton of pills. But they took her to the hospital, pumped her stomach, and she was there, and I was talking to her. You know, you never know what's going on in a person's life. When you're lonely and you're sad, when you don't have a friend, when people treat you like dirt, and there are people who feel that way. They call you a geek, they call you a square, and worse stuff than that. And you feel, nobody loves me, nobody cares. I have four sons, three of them are here today. Kevin, when he was 16 in high school at Sunset High in Portland, Oregon, one day I came home from the office, and Kevin had a long face. And I said to my wife, what's wrong with Kevin? She said, you ask him. I said, Kevin, what happened? He said, Dad, one of the boys in my class, Spanish class, we were together in class today. He's the son of a doctor, lots of money, traveled to Europe, a farm with horses, everything he wanted. But he started calling up all his buddies at 4:30 that afternoon. And he said, I'm going to shoot myself. And he called every one of the kids. And everybody thought he was joking. Some of them said, oh, go ahead. They didn't believe him. At 4:37, he grabbed a shotgun in his father's cabinet, put it in his mouth, blew his head off, never left a note. The parents never found out why did their boy kill himself. I believe it was loneliness. Nobody wants to kill himself when they know God, when they have friends, something was wrong in that boy's heart, and nobody guessed it. And when he told them, they thought he was joking. So if you're lonely today, and Satan is tempting you and telling you, go ahead, take your life. I got a letter the other day from somebody in South America. Now she's a woman. But when she was 17, she said her mother used to go to occultic things, to spiritists and palm readers and junk like that. And she would hear voices at night. Her dad had been killed and shot. Her mother was desperate. She went to these occultic people. And the voice that she said used to say to her, jump from the window, jump through the window. Life isn't worth it. Go ahead, kill yourself. Fortunately, she didn't pay attention. But she is now a fabulous follower of Jesus Christ. But you know what? She found out what Jesus says. He says, you are my friends if you do what I command you. He said, you know, no one has greater love than this, that someone should give his life for his friends. And he said, I'm giving my life for you. You are my friends. And then Jesus said, I am your friend because everything I heard from God the Father, I have told you. So if you're here today and you say, Luis, I'm lonely. I'm kicked around. My dad threw me out of the house. Nobody likes me. I don't like to date. Nobody invites me out. Listen, come to Jesus Christ. I'll give you an opportunity. And you guys and girls, and you dads and moms out there too, you come and let Jesus Christ become your friend. Jesus makes a difference when you are lonely and when you are sad and you surrender to him. But hey, listen, you've got to make a decision though. You've got to open your heart. It isn't enough to say, hey, that's good, Luis. Fabulous. I like it. It's good. But you've got to make a decision. You've got to come to him. He already came looking for you. And you know something? This is no joke. He is here among us. He's here. Yes. You say, I don't see him. Of course you don't see him, but he's here and he's speaking to you and he's knocking at the door of your heart. Second, Jesus makes a difference. Listen to this. Especially guys, when you are wild, when you're out of control, when you're into drugs, over drinking, fooling around, and you're going crazy, and you feel, I can't get away from it. I'm trapped. That's what happened to Christian Hosoi. Did you hear his story? I mean, he was a champion skateboarder, one of the most famous in America. But drugs got a hold of him. Then he went to selling them. Then the cops got him. He ends up in the penitentiary. But he said, in the penitentiary, I was free because Jesus Christ came into my heart. Does he make a difference or what? You better believe he makes a difference. Yes, sir. And you know, if you're here today, the Bible says, sin shall not make you a slave because you are not under religious law. You're under the power of Jesus Christ. When you come to Jesus, you stop being a slave. You notice what Stephen Baldwin said? He never went to the penitentiary. But you know, he said he was a slave. What do you mean a slave? He was a prisoner to all sorts of bad habits, corrupt behavior, dishonor to his family. And he felt rotten, but he didn't know any better until he opened his heart to Jesus Christ. And if you're here today and you're going crazy and you're doing stupid things that you know could destroy you, come to Christ. He will take away the evil side, but he'll keep all the good stuff. And he'll even give you more. But you have to renounce evil. And you have to say, Lord, I'm losing it. I'm in trouble. I'm overdoing it. I'm drinking too much. I'm messing with drugs. I'm messing in ways I shouldn't do. Lord Jesus, liberate me. Liberate me. And the Bible says that you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Yes, go ahead. Give him a hand. He deserves it. He deserves it. And you know what? One split second decision and your life could change forever. If you guys who feel wild and out of control, when I give you the invitations in a few moments, you come and give your life to Christ. Every time you walk by this Schwab Park, you're going to say, in that park, Jesus Christ set me free and I'm not goofing off anymore because he has changed my life. He is a great friend and a great Savior, Jesus Christ. Come to him. Thirdly, listen to this. Jesus makes a difference. When sex temptation grabs you, when you feel your hormones are going 100 miles an hour, and you think, man, I'm going to mess up my life. I can't take it anymore. I can't control myself. I remember one day in Illinois, near Chicago, we were in a thing like this, except it was a basketball place. And I was talking to kids, and I was talking, telling them, you know, sex is a beautiful gift of God. Sex is not evil, it's not dirty, it's not sinful. Sex is one of the greatest gifts that God has given us. But you know the problem is that because the human race has a cancer that the Bible calls sin, we take this good gift of God and we mess it up. So God says, I made one man and one woman so that they can get married and enjoy everything, including sex. All the way, enjoy yourself, says the Lord, as a husband and wife. But because of sin, something goes on inside our hearts and our minds. And so we take the good gift of God and we twist it around and we misuse it. And then we feel guilty and we mess up our lives. And we say, why did that happen? It's because somehow something's wrong inside. And you know, the Bible says, God says these words, be holy because I am holy, says the Lord. And I'll tell you, girls, I'm a grandpa now. Girls, God gave you your beautiful body. And he says, let me control your life as a woman. Let me have my way with you, says the Lord. I'll keep you as a girl. I'll keep you as a woman. I will protect you and I'll give you power. And for you guys, teenagers and older guys too, the Lord says, I made you a man. I made you with your sexuality. I know how you can best enjoy it with no regrets, with no shame, with no fear, without messing up other people's lives. The Lord says, if you love me and you follow me, he says to you men, I will protect you. I'll give you the power. Sure, we're all tempted, but temptation is different from sin. Temptation is the inclination to think, to do things you shouldn't do. Sin is when you actually do it. And you know, one day I was in Illinois, I was going to tell you, and I was speaking to the kids like tonight. It was youth night. And when I finished, my wife and I were on the platform, and a girl at this end started going like this to me, going like this. So I thought, okay, let's talk to her. So I went over when I finished, and she said, Mr. Palau, I got to talk to you. She said, I'm in high school, I'm 15. When I was 13, I was going out with one of the football players in the high school, and he began to pressure me to do it and to go all the way. And she said, I go to church, I love Jesus, but I like this guy. I wanted to keep him. I was hoping that we'll go for years and get married. But now he's pressuring me to do it. And she said, I said to him, I won't do it now. She said, when I turn 15, okay. She said, Mr. Palau, this Saturday, I'm going to be 15. And he's been saying to me for the last 3 weeks, it's coming up. We're going to do it. She said, I don't know what to do. What shall I do? I love him. I don't want to lose him, but I don't want to sin against God. So I was praying. You can imagine, what do I tell this girl? So the Lord gave me this idea. See what you think of it. I said, okay, do this. Go home tonight. Tell your dad exactly what you just told me. She said, he'll kill me. I said, no, he'll love you for it. I'll bet you. Then I said, ask your dad to come and sit next to you and call this guy on the phone. Ahaha, hey, with the old boy near him, okay? And I said, you say to this guy, Joe, I love you. I don't ever want to lose you. I want to marry you at the end. But I cannot have sex, even though I promised. She said, what if he kicks me out and dumps me? I said, if he dumps you, good riddance. He didn't really love you. Because if he, you better believe it. If he really loves you, he's going to honor you and say, by golly, what a woman I've got. She's got the guts to tell me no, fancy little football player that I am. And I said, if he dumps you, say, thank you, God, you protected me. She said, but I don't want to lose him. I said, I know you don't, but the Lord must have somebody better for you. Anyway, I said, call me up when you've done it. My wife and I were in the hotel just about midnight. Ring. I thought, it's her. Sure enough, she called, Mr. Palau, I did it. I said, what did he say? He said, you're a liar. You're supposed to be a Christian. You told me we were going to do it, and you just lied to me. That's worse than having sex. She said, it's bad. I'm sorry. I can't do it. And he said, cussed her out and said, we're finished. It's over. Goodbye. I said, how do you feel? She said, I feel terrible that I lost him, but I'm so happy that I finally didn't do it. And then I said, what did your dad say? My dad kissed me like 20 times, she said. He was so happy that I told him and that I'm free. And you know, give thanks for God for the power of that girl. You better believe it. You know, a lot of schools nowadays teach about sex without God. Many people talk about safe sex. You kids who are high school, junior high, etc. You know what safe sex is according to the Bible? Safe sex is sex only in marriage and never outside of marriage. That's what safe sex is all about. That's what it's all about. And I'll tell you guys are still young. I'm an old, I have heard more stories and I've met more people. And so many people, instead of doing what that girl did, go ahead and they do it. And then for the rest of their lives, even after they become followers of Jesus, there are memories that they can't shake. When you follow, the younger the better. And you junior high and even boys and girls, high school kids, working guys, you come to Jesus Christ. I'll tell you, I've known him since I was 12 years old. I got serious with Jesus when I was 17 and a half. Now I'm a grandpa. I'm 70 years old. And every year it gets better and better and better to know Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, that's absolutely the truth. Thirdly, Jesus makes a difference when you're looking for love. All of us are looking for love. You've got to distinguish between love and sex. In the movies, the impression is that it's the same thing, but it's not. You know, in the movies, I love you, I want to make love to you. And you know what they're talking about. But what you're really looking for is real love. Now, where do you find real love? Aha! You find it in God through Jesus Christ. Because the Bible says, the Bible says, God is love. And whoever knows God knows love because God is love. You say, but that's religious. No. That's not religious. That's a relationship with the one who created you. And you know something? The question that all college kids ask themselves, according to Josh McDowell, is this. Will anyone really love me in my life? And then the other question, will I ever truly love somebody else? And the answer is, if you know Jesus Christ, he will bring the right person into your life that will love you. They won't be perfect, but they will care for you. You will enjoy each other, And if you marry in God's plan, it'll still be an up and down life, but it will be nothing like those who don't know Jesus Christ. Because he comes in, and listen to this, guys. When you receive him today, he says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, happiness, peace, patience. God gives you extra love. And look, if he wants you married, and the majority of guys should get married, and most of the girls will get married, if the Lord wants you married, the Bible says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Some people say, but Luis, if I pray about getting married, the Lord, for sure, I like him nice and chubby. He'll probably send me a thin little thing that runs 5 miles a day. And I like him soft and chubby. Some people think, like the Lord is a monster, you know. You like a girl with blue eyes and he gives you a bald woman with black eyes, you know. Or whatever, you know. Oh, you like a guy full of muscles. And I end up being a skinny brat who can't develop muscles, you know. And you say, for sure, if I pray, that's what's going to happen. God is going to suck it to me. In Seinfeld, I shouldn't be watching Seinfeld, right? But I watched it once in a while. And you know George, the little guy? He's weird. But he is funny. And one day, something went wrong with a girl. He's always looking for girls, George, and he never finds them. And one day, he thought he found the perfect girl. And he comes back, and the girl dumped him. And he said, I knew it, he said to Seinfeld. George said, I knew it. God has it against me, and he destroyed me again. And Seinfeld said, God? I thought you didn't believe in God. And George says, I believe in him for the bad stuff. Yeah, you know, there's a lot of people that way. They don't believe in God, but when something goes bad, they say, oh, God did it to me, or where is God, you know. But you know something? God loves you, every one of you beautiful girls. Every one of you guys, he loves you, man. More than loves you. He likes you. He likes you. And God likes you. And he says, man, give me your heart. And I will give you the desires of your heart. Many of you have dads who walked away from you. Many of you come from broken homes. And when you talk about God the Father, you think, if God is like my father, I want nothing to do with it. But you know something? God is not like your father. He's much better. And he becomes your father. And when you open your heart, guys and dads and moms, he becomes your real father. I lost my dad when I was 10 years old. He didn't divorce my mom. He went off and died. When I see him in heaven, I'm going to say, why did you die so young, man? You know. But he left my mom and me, 5 little sisters and me. I had no dad. Nobody ever talk to me about things. My dad had said to me when I was 6 years old one day, Luis, read the book of Proverbs. It has 31 chapters and it'll protect you. And you know, guys, God becomes your father. And through the book, the Bible, but especially the book of Proverbs, he talks to you about everything you want to know about love, about sex, about money, about marriage, about everything you want to know is in the book of Proverbs. One chapter a day, and you'll be successful for the rest of your days. It's the word of God. And it's very good. Does Jesus make a difference? Tell me. Yes or no? Yes, he does. He makes a difference when you're lonely, when you're sad. He makes a difference when you're wild and out of control. He makes a difference when sex temptations come. He makes a difference when you're looking for real, pure love. And Jesus makes a difference when family troubles hit you. I won't ask for hands, but I'll bet you 40% of you tonight come from broken homes. Your dad walked off. Usually it's the dad, although nowadays mothers are doing it. The dads walk away, leave the kids with the mom, and some of you have gone through that. And you're angry, and you are right to be angry, because if a man brings children into the world, he should take care of them until they grow up. He should take care of his kids. But mothers are doing it nowadays. Mothers are walking out and they're saying, keep your kids, I'm out of here. Not as much as the men. But you know, you have a right to be angry, but you got to do something more than just be angry. You know what the Bible says? Jesus said, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Make him your friend. Jesus also says, listen to this. He said, Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. I am with you always, even to the end of the world. If your father has left you, you have Jesus Christ. If your mother has left you, you have Jesus Christ. He will never leave you. He lives in your heart. You become the temple of God. I invite you tonight, come and give your life to Jesus Christ. Most of you were brought up in Christian churches. Some of you perhaps not. But you walked away from Him. You gave up years ago. Tonight we're here to say to you, come back to God. Come to Jesus Christ. He loves you. He likes you. He wants you. And that's why He died on the cross. But you know my favorite promise? For those of you who come from broken homes, listen to this. The Bible says, and it's a promise. Listen, guys. Though my father and my mother reject me, the Lord will lift me up. Is He a good friend of what? He is a good friend, and He loves you tonight. And then look, for those of you who are college students and are intellectuals, Jesus makes a difference when intellectual questions come. You ask yourself, who am I? Why am I here? Where did I come from? Where am I going when I die? What's the purpose to my life? Why did my dad and mom abandon me? All those questions, you know the answer is in the Word of God. And if you open your heart to Christ and you truly surrender to Him, guys and girls, dads and moms, you will find the answer. I wrote a book called Where is God When Bad Things Happen? And there's a chapter about abortion, a chapter about incest, a divorce, the death of a child, all sorts of things. But the answer is here in the Word of God. The Word of God will answer all your intellectual questions. You know why? Because the Bible says, listen to this. To me, it's awesome. The day I read it, I was impressed. It goes like this. God says in Jeremiah chapter 1, listen, before I made you in your mother's womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I separated you. I gave you a message to the nations. Guys, girls, dads and moms, before God made you in your mother's womb, He already knew you. When I read that, I thought, man, this is amazing. Now, we know that the body is made up when the dad and mom have relations and the little sperm chases a little egg and the whole thing begins. And you know, you may say, well, what do you mean God made me in my mother's womb? It's just biological. Yes, it's biological for the body. But what about the soul? And what about your spirit? You see, you're not just a machine. You're not just a body. You are a living soul, and you are also a spirit. And you know, you can know God because God reveals Himself to your spirit. When you open your heart to Christ, people say, I'm born again. I'm alive. I'm so happy. I have peace with God. I talked to a lady, we were interviewing her back there, 20 years ago in Salem. She had to divorce her husband because he tried to choke her and kill her 3 times. And when she came to hear the gospel, she was desperate. Her brother brought her. And she gave her life to Christ. And I said, what do you feel now? She said, 20 years of peace, 20 years of happiness, 20 years of joy. Even though I am alone and my husband left me, I am at peace because Christ lives in my heart. Number 6, Jesus makes a difference. Listen to this. When guilt and temptation depress you and haunt you, when you got sad memories of things you've done, you lied perhaps, you cheated in school, you had an abortion, you had sex out of marriage, or you've been the victim of rape and you carry that load on your memory, or you're the victim of incest, someone in your family took advantage of you, you've said things that were wrong, and you feel guilty, and you should. But you know what? All of us have sinned against God. The Bible says everyone has sinned and we come short of the glory of God. You look around the world and you say, you know, why are people so miserable? I thought God made us for success. God made us for glory. God made us to be victorious. Why does this happen? You know why we admire movie stars and basketball players and swimmers and people who are famous, because in a way, we always dream that we would be famous, that we would have glory and applause, and our picture would appear in the newspapers. We were born for success and for glory and for stardom. But we don't live that way. Why? Because of sin. This filthy disease called sin has destroyed our lives. But when you open your heart to Christ, the Bible says the blood of Jesus, the Son of God, purifies us from all sin. He not only forgives you, he washes away the memories. The Bible says that when Christ died on the cross, you remember, they put a thief on his right and a thief on his left. And both of them made fun of Jesus Christ. They insulted him. They said, if you're the Son of God, come on down and get us off this cross too. And then suddenly something happened. One of them changed his mind. And he turns to Jesus and he rebukes his buddy who was on the other cross. And he says, don't you fear God since we're in the same condemnation? And then he turns to Jesus. There are three of them on the cross. And he says, Jesus, remember me when you come in your kingdom. And Jesus said, you remember, truly, truly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. Right there on the cross. Yeah, give him a hand. Give him a hand. Sure. One day I was in Guam in the South Pacific. And I talked to an old man. He was 87. He'd been a pilot in World War II. He served a dictator in the Caribbean. He fought in the Jewish Seven-Day War. And they call him Dutch. And Dutch came to see me in the hotel. And he was old, married to a gal from France. And he said to me, Luis, I'm 87. I know I'm going to be dead in a few months. He said, is there any chance that God would forgive me? And I said, Dutch, that's why Jesus came into the world. He was born of the Blessed Virgin. He died on a cross. He took away your sins, Dutch. He was a great old guy, you know, sharp and witty, a pilot. And he said, but look, how can God forgive me just like that? We were sitting at a coffee table in the hotel lobby, and he went like this with his foot. And he went, how can Jesus just shove my sins under the rug and forgive me? I said, Dutch, he didn't shove your sins under the rug. He paid for it with his own blood on a cross outside of Jerusalem 2,000 years ago. 2,000 years ago. I met a guy in Washington, D.C., tall guy, lanky American. He had AIDS, and he was in a booth at a convention where he was helping other people with AIDS. So this was about 20 years ago when AIDS was a new thing, and I'd read about it. So I went up to his booth, and I shook his hand, and I said, hey, you have AIDS? And he said, yes, I do. I said, what are you doing now? He said, I'm helping other people with AIDS. And the booth said, AIDS help or something. And I said, and you know Jesus Christ? He said, yes, I do. I said, how did you find him? And he said, I was in San Francisco, and when I found out that I had AIDS, I realized I was going to die pretty fast. So he said, I started going to churches. And he said, nowhere did I find an answer. People would shake my hand and say, welcome, God loves you, and so do I. Smile, God loves you. But he said, I didn't get it. And then I said to him, well, how did you find peace with God? Because he said, I am ready. I'm at peace with God. He said, when I die, I'll probably be 28 or 30, and I'll be dead. And I said, where did you find peace? And listen to what he told me. He said, I found peace with God one day when I understood the cross of Jesus Christ. The other day I read in the newspaper, the Los Angeles Times, he lived longer than he expected. He died at about age 45 or 47, and he was telling everybody that he was at peace with God because one day he understood the cross of Christ. And for 2 minutes, let me explain what that means. Because guys, girls, and dads and moms, when you understand the cross, then your conscience becomes clean and you have peace with God. On the cross, God did a miracle. It's a mystery, but it's true. God sent his son, Jesus Christ, and let him die on a cross. I told you, a thief on the right and a thief on the left. And Jesus was hanging there. He had a crown of thorns on his head. He was bleeding. The Roman soldiers beat him up. They gave him 39 whippings in his back. They spat on his face. The Bible says they bandaged his eyes. And they slapped him around and they mocked him. And they said, tell us, prophesy, who was it who spat on you and just beat you up? And Jesus didn't say a word. Then they took the bandage off. They took all his clothes off. They put a red sort of a garment on him. And all the Roman soldiers got on their knees in mock worship. And they said, hail, King of the Jews. Hail, King of the Jews. And they made fun of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then the Bible says they put a cross on his back. And they made him haul it outside of Jerusalem on a hill, sort of like those hills back there. And Jesus took his cross, and they nailed him, his hands and his feet, with a crown of thorns on his head. They mocked him. They called him names. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And then at noon, for about 3 hours, it became dark as midnight. And the Bible says that Jesus in the darkness cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And then a few minutes later, Jesus cried out, it is finished. And then he said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. What was finished? What was finished was this. The Bible says that God the Father, listen to this. If you understand it, you'll be like that guy with AIDS. You'll have peace with God. God the Father laid on his son the sins of the whole world. Listen, every sin that you and I have ever committed, every dirty thought we've ever had, every filthy word we've ever said, every lie, every cheating, every dirty thing, it was all laid on Jesus Christ. And then when he said it is finished, it meant that he had paid for the price. He had taken away the sin, and then they buried him. For 3 days he was in the tomb. His enemies thought, we got rid of him. But on Sunday morning, early before the sun came up, the angels came and rolled away the stone. And the Bible says, Jesus came out of the tomb. He was raised from the dead. He ascended to heaven. Jesus is alive tonight. Yes. And you know what the Bible says? Listen, and I'm giving you the invitation. If you confess your sins, God is faithful and good and just. And he will forgive your sins and purify you from all badness. You know, the Bible says that the blood of Jesus disinfects us from all sin. Whatever infection you have, whatever guilt, he will take it away right now. And then, of course, comes Jesus makes a difference when the moment of death comes. Those two beautiful girls I told you about in Santa Cruz, Mandy and Carrie, two beautiful little teenage sisters. I know the dad and mom. And you know, they went to be with the Lord when they didn't expect it. They were cute girls. I had a picture that the mom sent me. Each one had their own kitty cat. They were just beautiful teenage girls. But the Lord said, come on home. And that night, September 2001, I think it was September 23, Saturday night, the Lord took him home. And you know, none of us knows. Here I am, I'm a grandpa. I'm getting closer and closer. One of these days, I'm going to go. But I know where I'm going because I've had Jesus Christ since I was 12 years old living in my heart. I deserve to go to hell, but Jesus is my Savior. Yes, give him a hand. Sure, sure, sure. And I want to ask you this question. 1,000 years from tonight, where will you be? 1,000 years from tonight, where will you be? One guy shouted, heaven. Yes, yes. If you've got Jesus Christ, the Bible says, listen to this, and I'm coming to the invitation. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. Yeah, repeat it. Repeat it with me. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. Everybody, you guys back there, let me hear you. Absent from the body. Again, absent from the body, present with the Lord. When Mandy and Carrie died in that car in Santa Cruz, their sweet little bodies were dead. Their heart was not beating. The ambulance came and took them away. But where were Mandy and Carrie? You tell me.
In heaven.
Why? Not because they were good, though they were good. They went to heaven because they had Jesus Christ in their heart. 1,000 years from tonight, where will you be? Yeah. If you don't know, this is the moment of decision. You have to open your life to Jesus Christ. The Bible says it's very simple. That's why many people miss it. And right now, I want to give you an opportunity to receive Jesus Christ. The Bible says, God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. Whoever has the Son of God has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not yet have life. So it's very simple. If I come down and I grab one of you guys and I say, do you have eternal life? You got to answer only one way. Yes, because I have Jesus Christ. But if you say, I don't know, it means that you don't have Jesus Christ. And I beg you tonight, come and give your heart to Jesus Christ. He is, loves you. Yes, He calls you. He calls you. And you may say, Luis, how shall I do it? How shall I do it? Listen, it's so simple. It's like this. Jesus says in the book of Revelation, I stand at your door and knock. If you hear my voice, says Jesus Christ, and you open the door, I will come into you and eat with you and you with me. In other words, he says to you tonight, right now, the Son of God who died on the cross for you and rose from the, he's calling you. He's knocking at the door of your heart. Whoever you are, guys, girls, dads and moms. And you say, well, how shall I open my heart? The simplest way I can tell you is this. What if I go to your house tonight? I knock on the door of your house. You look out the window and you say, oh boy, what do we do? Huh? It's Palau. He talks too much, you know. You got to make a decision. If you don't want me to come in, just leave the door closed. And after a few more knocks, I'm gone. But if you want me to come in, all you have to do is open the door and say, Luis, come on in, sit down. What do you want to drink? Make yourself at home, and I move into your house. Yeah. Uh-huh. And Jesus Christ says to you, man, let me come into your heart. Open the door, just like you'd open the door of your house. And he says, I will come into you. He will do it. All you have to do is open your heart and say, Jesus, I surrender, I bow the knee, I will serve you, I will follow you. One day I'll see you in heaven. Please come into my heart. And he says, I will come in. And he'll do it right here, right now. You don't have to wait tomorrow, Sunday, to go to church or mass or communion or whatever. He will come into your heart right here, right now. And I'm here to help you to make that decision. So I want to ask all of you to bow your heads in prayer. Everybody, let's just cool down for one moment and let me lead you into the presence of God. It's so good to see so many young guys here tonight, not only girls, but guys. And you know, fellows and girls, the Lord says, I love you, I like you, I want you. Let me come into your heart. And you know, if you receive Jesus right now, guys and girls and dads and moms, you will receive the Holy Spirit. And I tell you, your life will change so fantastically. You'll never forget this day. It'll be an instant turnaround. It'll be a new beginning. You will have a new master in your life. It'll be a fresh start. It'll be new life. You will have deep convictions. You will be a child of God. You'll have a new heart. You're on your way to heaven. And the next 40 or 50 years will be absolutely astonishing. It's never too late to open your heart to Christ. So break away, follow Jesus, and let Him come into your life. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. I wish that all of you would pray out loud with me. I will guide you, phrase by phrase, and lead you in this prayer. And then when you've all prayed, some of you, for the first time in your life, you're going to open your heart to Christ. Some of you have known all this, but you drifted from God, you drifted from the church, you've drifted from the Bible, you feel the loneliness, you feel the guilt, you know you're lost, And the Lord is saying, here, follow me. I will bring you back where you belong. You are lost, but I have found you. Let me bring you back where you belong. Oh, I beg you guys and girls. I beg you dads and moms. I especially beg all grandpas and grandmas, join the young people tonight. And the Bible says to you, to all those who receive him and believe in his name, he gives them power to become children of God. Oh, I hope, I've been praying like crazy, that all of you would join in this prayer and that you would surrender to Jesus Christ. And those of you who know him, join us. It's a prayer of thanksgiving, okay? So let me guide you and let me hear you pray out loud this prayer to the Son of God. Pray with me. Oh God, my Father, you are such a good God. You created me, oh God, in my mother's womb. And here I am alive tonight. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You were born of the Blessed Virgin. You died for me on a cross. You took away all my sin. You suffered for me. And I love you tonight. I want to walk with you, Jesus. I want to serve you, Lord. My heart is yours. I confess with my lips, out loud, Jesus is Lord. And I confess, O Lord, I believe in my heart, you are the Son of God. You were raised from the dead, and now you live in my heart. Oh, Lord Jesus, I'm yours forever. And one day in heaven, I'll see you face to face. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you with all my heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Yes, amen.
Hi, this is Andrew Palau, and I am so glad that you were able to listen to one of Dad's messages today. I love it. We miss him every single day, you can imagine. But the beautiful thing is this, the work that Dad did for God's kingdom has not ended. Of course, we continue to spread the good news all around the world. In fact, we're reaching more people with the hope of Jesus Christ than ever before, day after day. But there's still so many, many people out there who don't yet know him. So the harvest is plentiful. We see that every single day. And we would love your partnership and support and help. And if you'd like to support Palau on this mission, sharing the gospel with every person on the planet, that's our goal. Visit us at luispalau.org and you'll see how you can do that. Thank you for joining us today. God bless you.